Welcome to Ancient Future Faith with Dr. Chris Alford, pastor of Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community in Sacramento. Just what is ancient future Christian faith? Join Chris each week as he talks with special guests about a refreshing renewal in evangelical worship and spirituality that's helping many believers get in touch with their ancient Christian heritage. Now, with another look at how the road to the evangelical future runs through the ancient past, here's Dr. Chris Alford.
Well, hi, everyone, and welcome once again to another edition of Ancient Future Faith. My name is Chris Alford, and I'm the host of the program. I'm also the pastor of Epiclesis. It's an ancient future evangelical church here in Sacramento. And by the way, you can always learn more about Epiclesis or Ancient Future Faith by going over to our website. It's an easy address. It's epiclesis.org. That's spelled E-P-I-C-L-E-S-I-S.org. Our mission here on this radio broadcast is to talk about, well, ancient future faith. What in the world is ancient future Christian faith? And what can the ancient faith of the church teach us about our future as a church? We do try to bring you interesting and diverse guests each Saturday, and today is no exception. He's coming back for a return trip to the studios of Ancient Future Faith, Steve Scott. Hi, Steve, and welcome.
Hi, thank you.
Steve has just returned from a trip to the Philippines and Cambodia, and in one of our previous broadcasts, I promised Steve that we would have you back, and I wanted to make sure to corral you so we could talk a little bit here on Ancient Future Faith about your recent travels. Steve, you are the leader of an organization called CANA, C-A-N-A, and though we did talk about it last time, some of the folks listening today may not remember that or have heard that particular broadcast. Tell us a little bit about CANA and what your mission in the world is.
CANA is an acronym for Christian Artists Networking Association, and we just want to see the arts restored to their rightful place in the church. And how we go about doing that is by learning better ways of connecting, engaging, getting in communication with artists from different parts of the world, whether they be in the emerging economies or the majority world or in the developed world. So you've got Asia, the Americas, Europe, artists, artisans, creative people working in these different parts of the world.
So your heart is bringing art back into the church, as it were.
Well, seeing the arts restored to the life of the church. I think the church without the arts, I think, is missing a very, very important ingredient of its expression and its means of reflection. CANA began as a networking organization for artists that were throughout Africa and India and other parts of Asia, and it was started under a different name, under the traditional media unit of the International Christian Media Commission, by missionary theologians in India, Bruce and Kathleen Nichols.
Oh yeah, I remember you telling me about them.
Who, I should mention, also worked with Esther Augsburger, who shared the vision for this and ended up working with them during those early years and taking on the responsibility of organizing and focusing more on the Eastern European artistic community and the Christian artists that were working in the Eastern European context. So Bruce and Kathleen began the TMU from their Indian context, and Esther Augsburger shared the vision, but working with an emphasis more on the Eastern European artists and arts and faith community.
Let me ask you a question. When you are traveling around the world, and we're going to get to your most recent travels here in just a minute, because I'm really interested in hearing about what you found there and what the environment was like. But as you're traveling around, are there some common threads that you discover, no matter what the cultural context, but are there some common threads about artists who are Christians who want to use their gifts in the church, but can't or don't feel comfortable doing so, or whatever? I don't want to presume or put words in your mouth, but are there some common things that you find there, no matter the cultural context?
Because of the way communication has sped up and digital networking, is the ideas are traveling further, quicker. So permission to do something, by which I mean people figuring out that it's okay to do something based on their faith convictions or their theological understanding of what they're doing, that informed permission is traveling faster, further these days when you can go online and read a theological article about the arts and faith, or what artists are free to do, or theological reflections on events in art history when the church and the arts had a closer relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So in one sense, the permission is more available. In another sense, in my opinion, there are two kinds of issues. One is people still have some of the old, still haunted by some of the older issues and older questions about the relevance or the utility of the arts in the life of the church. Usually when the church is viewing itself as a multiplier and they're looking for quantifiable results, they say, well, how will a painting save people? Or what will this do to bring people into the church, or
right.
help someone to become a Christian? You know, as they begin to think in terms of utility and quantity.
So you're experiencing those kinds of things even in non-Western, non-North American places.
Well, what I'm suggesting is that those questions tend to come up.
Wow.
Two sets of questions tend to come up.
Mm-hmm.
In the context that we might be more familiar with, what is the place and the value of the arts in churches or in Christian communities that want to see a growth pattern, want to see quantifiable return on investment? If they're going to, are they going to preach? Are they going to show videos? Are they going to have Christian music playing? Their goal is to attract people to the church. They want to know, if we emphasize the arts in some way, is it going to help bring people to church and bring them into a saving relationship with Jesus Christ?
I see.
Fortunately or unfortunately, they tend to view things in a very linear kind of way and a very quantifiable kind of way, in a sense. So some of that thinking has changed. And some church, many churches these days are much more open to the arts as part of the church's reflection on its faith, or the church's expression of its faith.
You're listening to an interview with Steve Scott. He is the head of CANA, Christian Artists Networking Association, and is located here in Sacramento. So it's a treat to be able to have him back on this particular broadcast, Ancient Future Faith. You can hear it every Saturday on KFIA Radio here in Sacramento. My name is Chris Alford. I'm the host and the pastor of Epiclesis, an Ancient Future Faith community. Steve, I promised that I wanted to share with folks about your recent travels. Just as soon as you got back, and you are back now for a few weeks from the Philippines, a very soggy trip, as I understand it, to the Philippines.
Absolutely, yeah.
And then in Cambodia for a few days in advance of your hopes to put together a worship arts conference there in 2015. So, how was the trip? Welcome back.
Thank you very much. It was a very exciting trip. I flew into the Philippines. Before flying into the Philippines, I was tracking on my computer, there were typhoons moving in and out of that particular area, so I was paying very close attention to what was going on. But there were no typhoons when I was there, just torrential rain and citywide traffic jams. But I was in the Philippines for 9 days, a very, very energizing, exciting time. Some meetings were set up by an organization called Drawing Life to Jesus. They're headed up by Ofer Odal, and they have a Facebook page under Drawing Life to Jesus, if you want to go look them up.
Oh, okay. Drawing Life to Jesus.
Yes, Drawing Life to Jesus.
Okay.
I believe I've got that right.
No, yeah, I think that's what you said earlier.
And they organized 2 days of seminars in which I talked to some assembled artists and media workers and interested parties. Two full days of seminars in which I did most of the sharing, and then some locals also shared some of the different things that they were doing. And I talked about getting inspiration for artists and creativity and creative thinking from the Gospel of John. I did some seminars on that. I also talked a little bit about my intention and my plans for the conference in Cambodia in 2015.
By the way, before you go on, we should say to our listeners here that one of the conversations that you and I had on one of these broadcasts was about your interest in the Gospel of John and seeing it through the lens of creativity and what we can learn about the creativity of God, what we can learn about our own creativity through that lens when looking at the Gospel of John. So I want to commend folks to go over to the Epiclesis website and look under podcasts. There is a category there called Ancient Future Faith on KFIA, and you should find that interview because it was just absolutely fascinating.
So there I was in the Philippines. I did 2 days worth of seminars. I also got to speak in an independent Baptist church, a small independent Baptist church. It was a wonderful experience. Musical people. There was so much singing during this church service. It was amazing. People were singing solos. There were groups singing. And it was just a wonderful, joyful, very melodic, worshipful experience in this little independent Baptist church. And then I got to share some remarks on some observations on the wedding at Cana. Then it was the 2 days of seminars, and then I did get to talk to some students about on two occasions. On one occasion, we talked about the Christian faith and creativity in the arts. We spoke in very general ways. In another class, I talked about innovation and creativity and problem solving. Then someone who'd been with me at the beginning of the week and hearing one day's worth of seminars organized in the gallery that they ran. They pulled together some of their friends and had me talk some more about both the Gospel of John and also share a little bit about the proposed conference in Cambodia. So then I flew from Manila midnight into Phnom Penh, Cambodia, where another organization, Cambodian Christian Arts Ministry, they also have a Facebook page. They're well worth looking up.
And what was the name of that again?
Cambodian Christian Arts Ministry.
Okay, on Facebook.
They did a tremendous amount of very hard work to organize and set up 2 days worth of seminars that featured both my ideas on the Gospel of John and my aspirations for a conference in Cambodia. And also, one of the founding leaders, Gioia Micheloti, gave some seminars too on biblical worldview and biblical basis for our approach to the arts, biblical understanding of the role of culture and the arts in the human family. I got a chance to talk about the Gospel of John and to discuss with those that assembled my aspirations and plans for Cambodian Conference 2015. And my understanding is now that there is a small group meeting principally to discuss some of the things that came up during the seminar, ideas that were discussed, and along with and or incidentally to try and put together a little work team, hopefully, that will help out with the logistics and the local legwork for the conference in 2015.
Now, how long were you in Cambodia?
2 weeks. I know I was in Phnom Penh for a week. Mm-hmm. I was in Phnom Penh for a week. I did 2 days of seminars. Then Friday, I was on a bus. And I took the bus. It was a 9-hour bus ride from Phnom Penh.
Oh, mercy. Hold on. We got to say that again. A 9-hour bus ride.
Oh, it could have been a lot longer.
Oh.
There are different levels of bus that you can take in Cambodia. There's the big air-conditioned tourist bus you can take, or you can go a little bit down the line and you can take a bus that is a little bit more local, stops everywhere, and lots of people get on it and off it and things like that. I took somewhere in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
It was a comfortable bus ride, and it was from Phnom Penh to Poy Pai, which is a border town between Cambodia and Thailand.
Mm-hmm. And what did you do there?
I did another Sunday afternoon seminar for some people that came together that were interested in learning a little bit more about CANA, the Cambodian Arts Conference, and to hear me talk generally about the arts. So there were village pastors that had come in from surrounding villages. Mm. There were young people there from a local church. And so I was in Poy Pai for about 3 days. And then the Monday after the Sunday afternoon, I got a ride from Poy Pai to Siem Reap. And Siem Reap was where I spent my final week. I had no seminars lined up, but I had individual meetings with people that were running NGOs, charitable works, and I was picking their brains as to what to do and what not to do about trying to organize this conference. Went to a gallery complex to inquire about what it involved to get space there on the short term. And I just spent the week in Siem Reap reflecting on my Philippines and my Phnom Penh and my Poipai experience and talking with individuals that were already very much embedded in the life and the culture of Siem Reap.
I'm talking to Steve Scott today. He is a world traveler and artist and thinker and theologian and poet and musician. And he's just returned from a trip to the Philippines and to Cambodia, where he is talking about and putting together plans for a conference in the arts in 2015. Let's turn our attention to that now, Steve. I'm wondering what you have in mind for that conference. What are you hoping to achieve? What's it going to look like? And what's going to go on at that conference?
When I began thinking about doing a CANA conference in Cambodia, I was initially impressed by some things that came to the surface when I thought about Cambodia. One was Angkor Wat. So I thought, well, there's this cultural legacy and cultural heritage in Cambodia. And I do wonder how we think about cultural heritage from a Christian perspective. Because of those passages in the Bible, both in the Old and the New Testament, that talk about the leaders or the kings of the nations bringing the best of what they have to offer in worship to God. And I thought, well, what does a theology of cultural redemption and cultural restoration look like in a Cambodian context? Or would the fact that there is a redemption of cultures component along with the reclaiming and redeeming of individuals through the grace of God, if there can be an emphasis on culture, would that be a stepping stone for a potentially evangelical conversation with a community or a nation that was intent on using its cultural heritage as a way of attracting people to its country and its culture? So I thought, well, there's that going on. They have cultural heritage. We have some ideas about cultural restoration. Would that be a handshake for a conversation with this particular community that could have redemptive potential? Then I also was thinking about, there's a lot of emphasis on children's work. There's orphanages, there's educational projects. There's so much emphasis on the plight of the children, and there's faith-based work, working with children from diminished and marginalized circumstances. There's a lot going on, and with any large amount of this kind of community work going on, there's good things to reflect on there. And so, along with the cultural heritage, I thought, well, if we were able to get Christian artists from different parts of the world together, how do we reflect on the good, bad, and the ugly of what's going on with the issues surrounding the concerns of children? And then the third thing that was of great interest to me, at least initially going into Cambodia, was the ongoing, the UN-backed trials of the Khmer Rouge. And I'd learned about independently of some work that was going on from a faith-based perspective around truth and reconciliation issues. Quite specifically, I'd been put in touch with a man called Reksa Him, who, as a child, lost his family to the Khmer Rouge. I mean, he was there. The Khmer Rouge took out his family. He survived and grew up. In growing up, he moved from refugee camp. He ended up in Canada. My understanding is he experienced Christian conversion somewhere along the way. And as a result of his Christian conversion, he thought, I have to go back and I have to work in a Cambodian situation and context and offer forgiveness.
Wow.
So I became very interested in the issues surrounding justice and reconciliation. In what does it look like to us? You know, the people that want justice, those that are pursuing reconciliation in a, of course, a truth-based manner. What can we observe? What can we learn from this? So those three threads, cultural restoration, truth and reconciliation, and the plight of the children in places like this, and the valuable work that's going on, those three things interested me initially in identifying Cambodia as a place that I'd like to do a CANA conference. But as I say, it's a work in progress. Each time I go back to Cambodia and I see what people are already doing, I come away thinking, what can we do for the Cambodian artists? What can we do to genuinely support and strengthen what's already being done there?
Yes.
How can we not tread on people's toes? How can we not waste resources by duplicating what someone else is doing? And how can we just not be tourists, as it were? So I want it to be genuinely encouraging, genuinely challenging. I want to open it to international artists, but I am very much interested in where local Cambodian Christian artists and other Asian Christian artists, where they're at in their faith journey, in their walk, what they perceive as the issues are. So my goal is to, you know, to listen better and to plan more appropriately and to think things through. And hopefully, by the grace of God, have a good conference in which we all come away deeper and richer in our faith. And I'd like it to be international. I'd like it to be Cana, representative of Cana's best practice and best vision. Mm-hmm. And I'd like it to be in Cambodia and in 2015. And 2015 is a great year because it's the 40th. I mean, I say that in a very qualified way, but it's the 40th anniversary of the Khmer Rouge takeover. Mm. It's a great time to convene artists and to think our way through what God wants to say in and through the arts in a Cambodian context, and what could we bring to that conversation.
Well, folks, as Steve's plans are coming together and as he is collaborating with artists about this, you can keep up with it on the Facebook page. I think we mentioned earlier in a conversation, Steve, that you have a Facebook page that folks can learn more about this, they can get in touch with you, and can even contribute to the effort.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about that Facebook page so we know exactly where to go.
There is a Facebook page that is called Cana in Cambodia. And the Cana is in capitals, C-A-N-A. It's in Cambodia.
Uh-huh.
And as of now, we're up to about 215 likes.
Okay.
And people that are following the page. More people are plugging into it every day. And if you go to that page, you will be able to make contact with me. You will be able to download a detailed report of my recent trip. You'll be kept current as plans develop for the conference. You will be networked in with a number of other individuals and Christian arts organizations that have linked to the page. And as we said, if you contact me and you want to know more about how to get involved in partnering with Cana in this conference, I can send, because Cana is a ministry department of Artists in Christian Testimony, I'll be able to send you contact information and all the salient and the relevant information for partnering with Cana as a ministry department of ACT. I can send you the address. I can send you the details of the name and the number of our ministry department should you want to get involved at some level with the conference.
So folks, go to Facebook and check out Cana in Cambodia, and you can learn more about all the things that are leading up to that conference, which absolutely sounds wonderful, Steve. I've got to figure out how I can get there, too. I'd love to go.
I think Ancient Future needs to be represented.
Yeah,
no, conference.
I do, too. I would love to go. Steve Scott, it's always a pleasure. You're inspiring to me, and I know to others, and it's just always a pleasure to talk with you on this program, and I can't wait for future conversations. Thanks for taking the time to
Thank
be with us.
Thank you so much for making this possible.
Well, it's just an honor. It really is. Folks, each week on KFIA, we're talking about ancient future Christian faith. What in the world it is. And we want you to join us again next time for another edition. But until then, I want you to be thinking about this question. The road to our evangelical future surely does run through our ancient Christian past. The Lord be with you.
Thank you for joining us for another look at ancient future faith. There is a refreshing wind of renewal blowing through the evangelical church as more and more worshipers turn for inspiration to the rich language and pattern of the ancient church, and they're rediscovering classic Christianity and learning to draw strength from a deep well of time-tested truth and tradition. Want to experience ancient future faith for yourself? Join us for worship at Epiclesis in Sacramento on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. in the chapel at 4600 Winding Way. You can contact us by calling 916-572-9113 or online at epiclesis.org. That's 916-572-9113 or on the web at epiclesis.org.
Pastor Chris here with one more word before you go. One of the most special parts of the whole Christian year is when the new year comes along at Advent, the time where we celebrate not only Christ's first coming as a baby, but when we also anticipate his second future coming as a conquering king. I'm hoping you'll join us for worship in Advent on Sunday mornings starting after Thanksgiving, but also please join us for a special and unique service of Advent scripture readings and carols on Sunday night, November 30th at 6 p.m. Find all the information on the web at Epiclesis.org. The Lord be with you.